The U.S. Geological Survey's Hawaii Volcano Observatory said the earthquake struck around 8:35 last night, about 66 miles northeast of the town of Hawaiian Beaches on the island's east coast. No reports of any injuries or major damage. News and analysis at townhall.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
And hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the show. I'm Bob Belongi.
I'm Brenda Belongi.
And I'm Alan Belongi.
And we have the tech news you can use, goodies, gadgets, gizmos, all kinds of good stuff. And we bring it to you each and every week here, both on broadcast and podcast. The show is carried not only on KCNR in Redding, but also via iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and, of course, on the BoomerTechRadio.com website. So as we record this show, it is Thursday, but the insanity, Brenda, has begun in Oregon, which is just north of our current location, where we would like to be on Monday, which is, of course, the 21st, Eclipse Day.
It's going to be an adventure just getting there.
Yeah. Apparently already, this is Thursday, the eclipse is Monday, and there are already spots where traffic is backed up.
30 miles.
Seems a little crazy.
It is anticipated that the state of Oregon will have over a million visitors. Just Oregon.
Right. That doesn't count.
Trying to cram into a 60-mile-wide zone.
That doesn't count Idaho or Wyoming or any of the other rural states as well where people will come in from everywhere. You know, it's kind of interesting how social media has played a role here, although been fascinating to see how slow mainstream media has been to plug into this. There has been a very active website over a year ago. Now, we didn't get hotel reservations, and there's ugly things going on, like hotels are canceling reservations
to sell them at a higher rate.
But you know, whether that's true or not, the reports of rooms, you know, it's $300 a night for a room.
Yeah, you're going to verify our hotel is not.
That our the hotel
didn't forget about us, right?
We're far enough away that it doesn't matter. They aren't. They might be fuller, but when I made reservations a month or so ago, they had tons of room. Yeah. Of course, we're staying a long ways away from it.
So yeah,
we still have a two and a half hour drive in normal circumstances.
Yeah, which is going to be six at the minimum, I think.
Well, in my line of work, you know, I can also keep an eye on the weather. So maybe some people will wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going because there's too many clouds or something like that. But
now, Alan, do you have your glasses? If not, we'll get you a pair.
Oh, I'm unfortunately not going.
No, I mean you'll be 80% here.
No more than that, 89.
89% here in Redding.
Yeah, I have some.
Oh, all right. Now, if you want to use welding goggles, they got to be at least a number 14.
There's a lot of arguments online about that, but 14 is the general agreed.
Yeah, and don't be a moron and try to look through exposed film, which if you can even find exposed film. That was back in 86, was it 86 when they had the big eclipse in Northwest?
79.
Okay. That's an old wives' tale about exposed film. It will not protect your eyes.
There's no UV protection in film.
Yeah.
If you have any doubts about the welding glass type thing, just don't stare at it for very long. Just look real quick and be done with it. Because really, the thing of beauty is when it's full, its totality.
Yeah, and that totality, you can look
absolutely.
At it.
Absolutely, you can look at it with a naked eye.
Just don't stare at it when it's not total.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's
and
simple.
That includes right up to that last moment. Where
the diamond ring.
The diamond ring, which is fleeting anyway. You can probably get by with that. But the interesting thing about the diamond ring, you know, it's kind of nice to have it. I don't know. There's lots of different techniques and strategies for viewing it. Do you look at the diamond ring as you're going into totality, or do you look at the diamond ring as you're coming out of totality, or how, you know, pick your thing.
Yeah.
If you're in a position where you can see the shadow coming, because it moves along quite rapidly.
2,400 miles per hour.
It moves right along. And having been through an eclipse, it gets dark. No, it doesn't get dark. It's very bizarre, because if you look to the north and south, you can see sunny sky.
Yeah, daylight.
If you have that field of view.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. And then, of course, you have a tremendous amount of light from the corona itself. So it's sort of like a full moon on steroids in a way. It's quite bright. Mm. So it gets very dusky. And the light is very, very strange. It's not what you're used to looking at. So
I remember an annular eclipse a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the light is very strange.
Something was wrong.
Yeah, it's just no wonder this freaked the ancients out. Yeah. You know, they had all kinds of things. So,
the sun disappeared. That's horrifying.
Yeah, we'll have tales to tell.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of folks will. And there's a lot of technology behind all this. And this time, people are able to track it and share the experience.
Right.
More than ever before, so it'll be extremely documented, as you said.
See, this is already being touted as the most photographed astronomical event ever. Now, NASA is doing a lot. They're actually putting up a plane that won't be able to outrun the shadow, but the plane will be able to stay within the shadow for several minutes instead of the 2 minutes or so that totality lasts for most of us.
Well, yeah, the fast airplanes, you know, maybe 400 or 500 miles an hour versus 2,400.
Yeah.
So
it will stretch out the amount of time. NASA is doing a lot of experiments.
And they're going to broadcast that on the NASA channel.
That will be streamed on NASA channel.
And probably restreamed, which is...
Right.
I have to... that's one thing that'll be cool, because if you end up in somewhere that's cloudy... And so the folks that are in the eastern half of the country this time of year, you know, I hate to say it, but the chances are more likely you'll have clouds than not.
Key storms, yeah.
Typically. Well, no, not that so much. Not that time of day, per se. It's just that the air mass is moist and it's cloudy, at least partly cloudy. But people, you know, want to get upset if there's high thin clouds or there's any kind of cloudiness at all. But really, you only need just a few seconds of totality to make a lifetime impression. It's pretty amazing.
Now, you can add Twitter as another way to catch the solar eclipse. The social network partnering with the Weather Channel to live stream the once-in-a-lifetime event. They'll be tracking the eclipse across the U.S. Coverage will include live shots from 10 locations, places like Nashville, also out-of-the-way spots like Stanley, Idaho, Casper, Wyoming, McMinnville, Oregon. The shadow, as I said, moving almost 2,400 miles an hour. Totality will be the longest in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and it's still... like 2.5 minutes or something like that. Around this part of the country, it's about 2 minutes.
So I have a piece of I don't know, I wouldn't call it advice, but a comment about technology and this eclipse. When all is said and done, you know, being able to track where the totality is and seeing all this social media thing, if you can't go to the totality zone and all this kind of stuff, even if you're not in the totality zone, it is so awesome.
Yeah.
And when the event is ongoing, skip the technology. Use your own eyes.
Yeah.
And viewing...
Don't fiddle with the phone while it's in totality.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Just don't even touch it.
Why record it? I mean, a million other people are going to record it almost literally.
Yeah, your recording's not going to be any better than anybody else.
It's not like you're getting a different angle, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all still
all
on Earth.
All looking at the same thing.
and
it's so true. And the thing about it is that when you see it with your own eyes, it's a completely different experience than when you look at it. It's like looking at a picture of the Grand Canyon, for instance, And when you get there, it does look like every picture you've ever seen, but it feels different.
And you...
Seeing it with your own eyes is, I think that's a really lasting impression. And not only that, every image I've ever seen, every photograph I've ever seen of an eclipse does not do it justice. It is just so difficult to catch those nuances of lighting. The sky isn't black. It's a very deep, deep midnight blue. Mm. And the corona isn't white. And so the pictures that you see tend to be black, and they look black and white, but it's not like that. It's extremely difficult for a device to discern that. And even when you think about it, any picture you see is merely an interpretation by that device of what you're looking at. It's not with your own eyes. Now, I don't see color the same way as everybody else does. You don't see color the same way everybody else does. But I see it my way. You see it your way.
I see it my way.
Your eyeballs are way better than any camera out there.
Right, right. And they're yours.
Well,
they go into your brain. Yeah. You know, it's hard to describe. The corona is not white. It's kind of a creamy white. Mm. It's just something you have to look at. So leave the devices alone when the moment of totality comes, at a minimum. And I was talking about this with a fellow eclipse watcher, and we were talking about strategies of travel and this and where to be and all that kind of stuff. And one of he made a really good point about watch it come. Watch it develop with your own eyes. Leave the technology alone, because after totality, everything happens in reverse.
Yeah.
Then you can get your devices out and watch it go away, which is just it showing up in reverse.
Yeah.
And so, the fun is watching it come. So if you're in a position where you can see it come from the shadow, come from a distance, that's pretty cool. But even if you're not in the path of totality, travel or location or what have you, doesn't allow you to be there, go for it anyway, because it's still really interesting. And at a minimum, take a piece of paper and punch a hole in it and cast that light through the hole on another piece of paper, and you'll be able to see the shadow go across there, or the moon, you know, block the sun.
Yeah.
You'll see that the moon's shape as it gradually covers more and more of the sun.
I've been running from a moon shadow. So
you're just full of
it
today.
It's gonna be awesome, yeah. if we can get there, and we should be able to.
Even if we don't, every mile that we put on northwards is more coverage of the sun. We might end up in a place where, okay, so we didn't get to totality, but we get to, 98% or something.
Yeah.
It's just, and we can probably see the totality zone. And not only that, it's just this human experience of going to an event like this.
With a million other crazy people.
With a bazillion other people, exactly. And there's some adventure in the offing no matter what. So it's all good.
And then you get to relay your story about being stuck in traffic.
That'll be true.
Have three or four friends that are out there doing various things.
Tow truck companies will be doing a land office business.
That's crazy. Just absolutely nuts.
So next week, expect lots and lots of videos about the eclipse appearing on, of course, Facebook and other social sites.
YouTube.
Here's an interesting thing. Scammers will post a static image on a Facebook feed to try to cheat Facebook's anti-spam or anti-clickbait algorithm, and you see an image on your screen. Now, if you've got autoplay turned off, you got the little play button in the middle, and it's usually something very tempting. Well, clicking on that is the same as clicking on a link. It's not launching the video, because static image with the play button on it is a link, right? Well, malware people will just insert anything they want, and this is becoming a common way to either create clickbait or install malware on your phone.
It's constant, it's insidious, it's annoying, but do be careful. Yeah, especially if you haven't been able to attend an event, or you didn't have very, very much coverage, whatever the deal is. Go to reputable sites, something like Smithsonian or the National Observatory or NASA, a lot of university sites, things like that. Oh, my gosh.
So on a related note, since we were talking about malware, story here, and by the way, a lot of the stories that we cover on Boomer Tech Radio show up in the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, available on Flipboard. On the it's available either on iOS, it's on Android. It works a little, not quite as good on a PC, but on a mobile device, Flipboard is really hard to beat as a news aggregator. The website Real Clear Defense says hackers around the world see weaknesses in U.S. voting systems, electric grids, and other pillars of American society. Now, we've been talking about this for years, that our infrastructure is vulnerable.
Yeah.
There were stories about, you know, the Stuxnet virus that apparently engineers in the U.S. and Israel came up with is out in the wild. And what Stuxnet affects is programmable logic controllers that do everything from turning irrigation gates on and off to complex chemical mixtures. And this virus can take over the control of these systems and make them do whatever you want. Now, think about the implications of that.
It could be nasty.
Yeah.
Shut down
power plants or crash power grids or whatever.
I was reminded at work recently about infrastructure because they're putting a new roof on the building. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they did, but they knocked the power out in one section of the building that is just a little bit vital to our operations. They had to all pack up and leave and go to a secondary site in order to have stable power. So who needs hackers and whatever to disrupt your infrastructure when you have roofers?
We have somebody with a sharp object and not knowledge of where it should go.
Yeah, well, you know, part of it's probably the building design, too. So I'm not sure how that turned out. I was leaving about the same time they were. So I'm sure I'll hear stories when I get back in the office. It's crazy.
Well, now, we mentioned about DEF CON, which is the big hacker conference down in Las Vegas every year. And what these guys will try to do, guys and girls will try to do, is to
folks
break into things like voting machines, simulated operating systems for these industrial infrastructures, and probe the vulnerabilities. Now, a lot of these, they're doing this more or less in the open. And a lot of these people who are finding these vulnerabilities alert the manufacturer, who either ignores it completely or they quietly get it taken care of before the bad guys do something.
Right, because that's one way to be a modern-day bounty hunter of sorts. You find vulnerabilities in something and try to get the companies that you find them for to pay you for that knowledge or information or access as to how you did it. Because they don't want to get hacked by somebody who actually has malicious intent.
Yeah. Raytheon, which has been around for a while, in June received a 5-year, $1 billion contract from Department of Homeland Defense to help protect .gov websites from cyber attacks, and to which we say right on, because some websites that we have heard of that are in the government domain were redirected or forced out, and fortunately, it wasn't like something critical to national defense, but it still hinders government operations when these sites go offline because we're so dependent on the things. Likewise, the switching networks for like our cell phones and things like that, those get knocked out of whack. We've got some real problems.
And a lot of things rely on cell phones these days.
Yeah. Well, Alan gets all his news off of his cell phone.
I use my
gigantic phone here, which is my iPad Pro.
Medical devices are, if you're wearing a monitor, they're plugged into a cell phone.
Right.
That sends the information back to the mothership.
Yeah. And interesting, you know, I would think it would be more along the lines of a Wi-Fi,
it can't always be connected
to a Wi-Fi.
But can these things be hacked and given commands to, shut down? Or
undoubtedly
fire somebody's insulin pump on full blast?
Right.
Or something really nasty. So to get University of... didn't your brother go to ASU?
Yes, Arizona State University, yes.
Well, And we know how anti-technology
and
your
he was,
brother is.
Well, he's not necessarily anti-technology because he works in high tech, in aerospace high tech.
Personal high
but,
technology.
Yeah, but he's at home, he's quite barefoot of such things.
He's quite 70s at home.
yeah, well, he's maybe a little past that, but...
Hey, leave work at work.
He right? does have a cordless phone.
Yeah, he does. Surprise is not a 49.
Well, that's exactly what he says,
Alan. Surprise is not 49 right. megahertz.
Yeah, he says, I stare at computer screens all day at work. Why would I want to come home and stare at them?
Students at ASU will have the opportunity to live in college housing with Echo Dots. It's a program that encourages engineering students to use voice user interface development skills on consumer hardware. ASU has a work-live space for first-year engineering students called the Tooker House, and those moving into his residence hall will be able to opt into the program and receive an Echo Dot for their dorm room. School says Amazon has donated 1,600 dots and will also provide developer kits to help the students who are in the existing engineering curriculum write software.
And what does Amazon benefit from?
Well,
in other words, what's the benefit? What's
the customer base?
What's the benefit to Amazon?
Precisely.
Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch here.
Precisely. Go ahead.
Well, the kids buy stuff off the internet all the time, and that just will make it that convenient. And you'll get used to having one of these things around, so you might buy one when you leave.
And I put this to you: why, up until very recently, were almost all people who were involved in the arts heavily into Macintosh or Mac? It was because in the 80s and 90s, Apple very wisely flooded the colleges with Mac machines.
So,
well,
building the user base.
And regular old schools, too, with
right.
those Apple IIs from back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah.
So apparently the goal with Amazon is a bunch of free development. It's really the
students will be encouraged to
right.
independently build Alexa skills using the skills
right.
kit.
So you get developer things going on, which is fine, and you know that could be a good experience for students. They can the Alexa skills kit is called Ask. Alexa skills kit. Okay, there have been previous company partnerships with universities and that sort of thing. In 2012, there was one. Thing called Course Smart that monitored students reading through digital textbooks, but there were some issues about privacy concern with that, which makes a certain amount of sense. And in 2015, the Los Angeles Unified School District tried to implement a program with Apple that would have put an iPad in the hands of every teacher and student. But they had some contract issues with publishers on that. So that didn't work. But this is a little different in that it's an opt-in type of program where it's available if the students want to do it. It's not a required thing or whatever. But talk about Geek Central.
Yeah.
But, that could be a good thing, especially first-year students. You know, it's good to have friends and make connections with people, particularly if you're from out of the area.
If you've been listening to the program for any length of time, you've heard us mention about the Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
And it looks like the initial crunch when everybody wanted a Switch is kind of backing down a little bit, or they're being a little bit easier to find.
They Nintendo up production a little bit because it was still being practically sold out everywhere. They undershot the demand, which is a good thing for them, but it did lead to a bit of a wasteland if you wanted one.
Well, during July, the Nintendo console outsold PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. The system is also contributing to a healthy gaming market in the United States. Now, have you gotten your hands on a Switch?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh, you do?
I went and got one launch day. And I've been picking up the good ones as they come out, games as they come out.
As a platform, of course, the Switch is the device that you can either have the paddles already on the side, so you walk around with it like an oversized Game Boy, but you can also take it and plug it into your big screen, right?
Yeah, you just drop it in the little dock, and it switches immediately to TV mode. Makes it really convenient for if you just want to keep playing whatever it is, whether you want to sit back on your couch or carry it with you.
And it's eminently portable. What's your impression of the device as a gaming machine?
It does its job just fine. I mean, it's certainly not the most powerful machine out there. But the whole thing is 100% about, you know, what games are available, and Nintendo's done a pretty good job of making sure there's some good ones out.
We're about ready for our bottom of the hour break. We come back, we'll have stories from Alan, who's keeping us up to date on a lot of this stuff.
What's the price point on the Nintendo Switch?
$300.
Yeah. Boomer Tech Radio, Bob, Brenda, and Alan. Tech news you can use. More after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. This is America, a country where at least half of the population still believe in godly moral values. They still believe this country was created for a godly purpose. We will never allow the overthrow of our country and Constitution from within. We will protect our God-given rights, such as freedom of speech and religion, and our right to protect ourselves and loved ones at any cost. But let's never forget, real freedom begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today, and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world.
Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio, Bob, Brenda, and Alan. The tech news that you can use. So far, we've talked about Eclipse stuff and Google stuff or Amazon stuff. We'll talk about Google stuff in a bit. There's a really cool story about the Google Home speaker that we're going to cover here in a minute. But right now, let's check in with Alan. Alan, what did you bring to the table this week?
Well, we were talking about, cybersecurity and all that a little bit last segment. And this year, they're expected to grow 7% in how much money we spend overall in cybersecurity to $86 billion.
It's a big industry.
Yeah. So it's quite a bit more than regular inflation. But, yeah, between all the different sort of breaches and whatnot, 7% is a pretty big increase, you know, outside of the infinite percent when the first time the Internet came out. But anyway, it keeps growing. It's going to get more and more expensive to keep
everything secure. Okay, now this is the amount of money that – now, is there a figure somewhere of how much has been lost to the bad guys?
It's really hard to gauge that because a lot of it is, not necessarily reported, mm-hmm. and some of it's not actual physical, monetary damages or draining of bank accounts or whatever. It's hard to estimate, like, for example, how much damage that HBO leaks came out to their brand and their properties.
Oh, yeah, and supposedly the whole... But a lot of people aren't too excited, and I don't see people flocking to these find out, a couple of days early what happens to Daenerys and her dragons. I just haven't. I'm content to wait till Sunday.
Right. So it's particularly hard to gauge what kind of damages these leaks or hacks or whatever actually have on HBO or whatever else gets hacked. Mm-hmm. So giving a figure for, if it's cost effective, all these cybersecurities, it's hard to say because it's a lot more than just monetary damages that these things are able to rot on companies and individuals at that, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about this before. Now, I have AVG, the full protection package, and it was $29 the first year. I just got a renewal notice saying that you don't have to do a thing. We'll automatically renew you and charge you $99.
Yeah.
And I was...
It's convenient.
Well... But do I, with Windows 10 and the Windows Defender in place, do I really need AVG?
I don't use anything, personally. I just make sure I keep an eye on what I download and whatnot. I wouldn't advise that if you're not really sure what you're doing 100% on computers. You definitely want to make sure you have an antivirus running. But for most people, I don't think just Windows Defender is enough, mm-hmm. Especially if you, accidentally click on things on Facebook or whatever. Windows Defender isn't going to... It's not the best out there,
Now, I know...
You get what you pay for, and you don't pay a lot.
Now, our computer guy here at the radio station, he's a big fan of Komodo.
That one's fine.
And other people, of course. What I wouldn't do is stick with the crapware that came with your computer from Kaspersky or Norton, because, first of all, I don't have a real... I get a real problem with a Russian company poking around in my computer. Even though I have nothing of any interest to anybody in Russia, it's still a little creepy.
Right. It's, personal preference.
And Kaspersky Lab says they're absolutely innocent. They got nothing to do with the Russian government, blah, 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 blah.
Well, if you do business in Russia, you probably do have some business with the Russian government. That's just how it works.
It's somewhat unavoidable. Yes.
like if you
doing
come
business
from,
in China.
Right, yeah, if you come from China.
Anyway, or imagine North Koreans getting into cybersecurity.
Or them exporting anything at all, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they actually made their own Mac.
understand, the Mac clone, and there was a the North Korean tablet which had like three apps on it, and
you know, to match their like seven websites they're allowed.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's probably enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, you only need one for news, which is all state sponsored. You need one for entertainment, which is, you know, Kim talking, I guess. And yeah. Who knows what
a
else?
A great leader, yes. So next week we're going to be taking this show on the road. And one of the things we want to try to do is to have Alan Skype to us when we record the show. And now Skype has gone around and done a new redesign. We've new and improved it. I thought Skype worked just fine. Thank you very much.
And that's why I kick and scream every time Skype ever does any sort of update. When they did their update to the, like, look more like instant or
Instagram
in, like, the phone messages from a couple of years ago, I tried my best to avoid updating, and I eventually failed in my ability to keep it the old version, because that's the version I liked, and now I can't have it anymore.
Yeah, the new experience.
And this one I definitely don't want.
The new experience is rolling out with media sharing, social expression tools like emoji, reaction, Snapchat-like stories features. It's an updated user interface that's meant to give Skype a more youthful feel. Now, Skype was originally around so that people on eBay could converse back and forth and transact business via voice. It became a successful business tool, but apparently that's not enough. I think Microsoft is trying to force businesses off of Skype, which is ostensibly free, and force them into some other platform where people...
Google Hangouts is the thing that Google's trying to push. Microsoft, I don't know what they're doing with Skype.
Yeah. I have yet to really get my hands... I use Google Plus as a news feed. But Google Hangouts, I've just never really gotten a taste for.
Yeah.
And I think it's a platform looking for an audience.
Now, one thing that's kind of weird about the whole Skype thing is, this is an anecdote on my part, but my group of friends online and everyone all use Skype for everything. Chatting, you know,
right.
Voice chatting, and
messaging.
All sorts of different things. And slowly but surely, as Skype got worse and worse with its updates, everyone just kind of slowly moved over to this other chat program, Discord, which is kind of focused on gamers, which I guess I'm kind of a part of, but even people that don't use it for gaming or whatever, it moves over to it just because it did everything that Skype used to do, except it does it better. Mm-hmm. And so Skype is slowly but surely dying, and it's definitely by its own hand. It's gotten more and more bloated and slow and unresponsive and just bad over the years. It's sad to see, but that happens to so many different, you know, programs like that.
A media gallery can be viewed on the right side of a group chat. Makes it easier to locate shared files, documents, spreadsheets, and such. The gallery is a bit too jazzy when it's empty. It has a squiggly line-filled background that basically is doing nothing but pushing pixels around. Group calling has colored balloons for each participant. And it just looks way too cluttered to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at a screenshot here of the new redesigned Skype.
Cluttered is a good way to put it for what Skype became over time. Mm.
So, I don't know. Will Microsoft be shooting themselves? Yeah, there's a screenshot here of the gallery. It's empty right now.
Well, it looks like fortunately you can close it at the very least, which I personally will never use it, you know, the little amount that I still use Skype.
Desktop app rolling out this week as a Skype preview for Mac users and those with non-Windows 10 PCs. Windows 10 users already received the newer features in last month's update. And now I use Skype on my mobile devices. And I haven't noticed a difference yet. Although, Skype on my Android device, it does a little squiggly line thing now when you launch it. And it does little jumpy dots when they're talking. And there's the bottom half of the screen is all full of emojis and stuff, which out of all the gazillions of emojis I use, like about a half a dozen, maybe.
Yeah. My biggest...
the one I want's never there.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have one that... Or you see it, like on my phone, the emoji, it looks one way on my phone, and then when you put it in the text message, it goes to something else.
Right.
So that's not what I put in there.
I have to say that my biggest complaint about a lot of these programs when they update is they have no sense or care of actual, like, efficiency of screen space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so much empty, wasted space everywhere and all sorts of new bubbly icons and whatever, and it's just frustrating and annoying how useless they make half your screen just because it's empty nothingness.
I think it's engineers, design engineers, trying to impress other design engineers, which has been my pet peeve with advertising people for years, that the TV commercial that, oh, yeah, it's the one with the baby, and they're on the back of cats, and they're running down, chasing rabbits down the road and all this. Well, what were they selling?
Oh.
Exactly. That's a fail. If you can't remember what the product was, and somebody just spent $1 million a minute, that's a fail.
Well, just look at any Super Bowl commercial.
Exactly.
What are half of those about? I don't know.
The most classic, memorable ad, simple, elegant, and unforgettable, was the Rainier beer ad with the motorcycle.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
The Doppler effect, and it just absolutely fantastic.
Of course, Budweiser.
That's
the
true.
Frogs
the frogs, that. Yeah, that's
yeah.
cute.
They're really some memorable, but I've also seen some ones that had me sitting there looking at the screen going, okay, is it over yet?
You know? Yeah. What was that for?
Yeah.
And the other classic one was the Volkswagen ad with the beat to the windshield wipers.
Well, that was interesting. That is an iconic commercial, by
yeah,
the way,
that is.
Along with the original Mac introductory commercial, which was based on George Orwell's 1984. That is an iconic commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
Why 1984 won't be like 1984. Yeah, but we're there right about now with Big Brother.
Yeah, well, Orwell is writing plenty of things anyway.
Yeah, we have Big Brother in our home. Which,
so do you think that this new Skype app can be used by somebody that's never used Skype before?
Yeah.
Or
I
is it one of these where it relies on some prior knowledge of the program?
No, it's
the app.
There's nothing really complex about it. You sign up for it, you make your friends, and you talk to them. It's still got the same, still basic concept of it all.
Well, we use it here for various things at the radio station. You hear a lot of news media still using Skype calls from some obscure point of the world.
I talk like this because you can't understand the word they're saying.
Yeah, they have a lousy microphone, or it's obvious they're in a room
they're
with
in a
hard
really
walls.
Big room with hard walls. Yeah,
yeah. And it just sounds
so
atrocious.
You still need sound equipment for it to sound
yeah,
halfway
you need
decent.
Well, you have a gamer's headset, so hopefully. But we'll be doing that as an experiment, have Alan join us by Skype when we record next week.
Did you know about that before it got aired here?
Yeah.
Okay. I wondered if he was just, you know, popping that on you all of a sudden. It's like, really? That's news to me.
No, we kind of popped it around a little bit. Hey, speaking of Big Brother and speakers in your home, Google Home, which is, of course, the hottest competition for Amazon's Echo speaker, has been pushed an update to the Home Smart Speaker that lets you make phone calls to any number in the U.S. and Canada for free. As with other features, you can place a call with your voice. Just say, hey, Google, call whoever, and instantly whoever else you've been talking to, it'll do your bidding. It'll recognize your voice to load your own contacts. When you ask it to call Dad, it'll phone your father, not somebody else's. I expect that you would put these numbers in through a companion app, just as you do with the Amazon Alexa. You have an app that lets you do these things. Rather, I can't see you having to recite all your phone numbers into this thing.
Okay, Google 555.
Yeah. You can ask the Home to ring businesses by name, even if they aren't stored in your contact list. Why hasn't this happened before? And I'll tell you the primary reason. The technology's obviously been there for a while. But the reason that nobody has been offering this, and I'm kind of surprised that Google is finally offering it, was liability. What happens if I've fallen and I can't get up goes ignored.
Right.
Call 911.
You cannot call 911 on the Google Home, though.
Yeah. It specifically states
right.
that you cannot use the device to contact emergency services.
So that's how they've gotten around this and why they've implemented it.
Right.
That was
to
the
avoid
big
the liability, as
right.
they,
exactly.
they tell you right up front. You can't use this thing to call for emergency services.
Right. So it's more of an assistive device or a device of convenience than it is like a regular phone.
Right. So our intention is we have an acquaintance. Now, you've heard us talk about Jack. In fact, you may hear Jack next week on this program if
things work out right.
If the stars align.
Yeah, if everything goes right.
We're Jack Rebney, who is also known as the Winnebago Man, is a personal friend of ours through circumstances. And he was, for a very long time, a veteran broadcaster with CBS News. He was a producer.
Producer.
With CBS News. And he gained some notoriety with a viral video of a Winnebago sales pitch. Sales promotion tape gone horribly wrong.
Let's just say that if you Google this, it is not family-friendly language.
Right,
so
this is not a work-friendly... This is a
yes.
not-safe-for-work video.
Yes. Look at it at home and plug the youngin's ears.
Jack is eloquent, but he's also... He makes the sailors pass
eloquent,
out.
But coarse.
Well, colorful metaphors abound.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking that maybe one of these things would be good for... And we'll try it with
but
that.
But he was on the air early in his career.
Oh, yes. He started out as a radio guy and got hired by some big names in radio. And we'll see if we can get Jack to share a couple of stories that we don't have to edit the living daylights out of. He may say a few things just to hear me grumble about I'm going to have to edit those out before I can send him in.
On the other hand, the podcast, you don't have to.
Yeah, on the podcast, we can just let it rip. Well, although I don't want to end up like grumpy old geeks or guys we've done. You know, that's... I paraphrase the name of that one because I can't even say the name of that podcast.
I wouldn't want to give it that much press, quite honestly.
International calls are supported if you got a Project Fi or Google Voice account. Those are billable, but so this is this may open the smart speaker market even more.
Definitely,
but go ahead.
Well, this is just definitely a different take on this, and it could be very convenient. But it always annoys me when there's things like, "Oh, this won't cost you a dime." Of course it costs you a dime. First of all, you have to buy the Google Home device. Second of all, you need an internet connection for it to work properly.
Right.
So it's not free. It's just not additional charges to a phone bill or something like that. It's like the Nissan Leaf zero emissions car. Not really, when you look at the manufacturing process. So I just love how they put this marketing twist on it.
Yeah. But... this indicates how much closer we are getting to the Star Trek bridge.
I'm being grumpy tonight.
Are you? we're approaching the Star Trek bridge, or Jarvis.
Hello, computer.
Yes, hello, computer. We're not quite there. We're not quite to Jarvis yet, but we're heading in that direction, and it indicates how we've gone from a beige box on a desk with a keyboard and a mouse and a monitor to voice interaction systems. Of course, we've got touch systems and things like that. So I don't think there's going to be – what I don't think we're going to see is Minority Report Tony Stark interface where you're waving your hands like you're conducting an orchestra.
Or ergonomically, that's not terribly comfortable.
You tried doing an air maneuver operating interface for a computer, right?
Your arms get tired in a hurry. I mean, even if you have, you know, good toned shoulder muscles or whatever, after a while, that just doesn't work. Although some might say it's a workout while you're on the computer, so that could be something.
Well, kind of, except you're using muscles that you'd only ever use for extended period of time. For this,
so maybe you would build up your computer muscles, but even so, gravity is going to take over, and it's just not comfortable. This is speculation on my part, derailing ourselves into that line. is little nuances. You know, you want to move something over just a little bit or whatever, you know, gross movements of your hand. How do you finely tune that? So I think as a system, that doesn't seem terribly practical to me. At least not for a while.
There are some audio editing and video editing apps available for the iPad Pro. But if I'm editing a video, they will let you make very coarse cuts. But if you're doing frame by frame cuts,
that's what I'm talking about.
You got to have the desktop.
That's the kind of stuff
you got to have more interface capability.
Right.
Of course, there's apps that will cut your video for you. Well, that's not creativity, boys and girls. It makes every video look the same. And the next time I see one of these default Microsoft slideshow things up at some event, I'm going to walk over and slap the person. the pseudo Ken Burns thing. You know, oh. Yeah, no sooner do you see one picture than the next one floats up. You've seen those.
Yes,
they drive you nuts.
It does. Yeah, that's...
No artistic timing.
Well, it's not that so much as you just the brain doesn't work that way. As you're fond of saying, Bob, just because you can
doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you should. It doesn't necessarily improve things over use of that.
So new and of course, just because you have a computer that doesn't look like a Bayes box doesn't mean that you are getting a little bitty pipsqueak. Tablets and crossover, for lack of a better term, I call them crossover computers, are gaining close to desktop power in a very, very small power energy efficient package.
Define crossover computer.
The Surface laptop.
Oh, okay.
It has it has a keyboard. It has a display, but you can use it as a pure tablet. Now, like my iPad Pro 12.9, which right now I've got set up like it's a gigantic smartphone because it's easier for me to read articles in the traditional form.
You have it in portraits.
Right, have it in portrait mode, but I can flip it back onto its side and use it as if it were a laptop with a touch screen. Another computer that you may want to look at if you want an all-round portable computer, the Samsung Galaxy Book 12-inch. Now, this is going to set you back anywhere from $1,600 to $2,300 bucks. This runs on Windows 10. Quite the battery life. The stylus doesn't have to be that's one thing that drives me nuts about the Apple Pencil, is that it does seem to go through its battery fairly fast. And when you've got the pencil plugged in to the tablet, you can't be charging the tablet without some kind of Y adapter. Let's see here. If you're looking for a fairly powerful tablet and don't want to go into iPad, the Samsung Galaxy Tab S3 will set you back right around $1,000. High-end Google Android tablet. Now, of course, if you don't need all those bells and whistles, there's a lot of tablets down there in the $200-$300 range. Or if you really want convenience on the cheap, you get yourself a Amazon Kindle, which is a pretty decent little tablet for $100.
It's very basic, though. You know,
it
you're
is,
not going to be doing a lot of fancy things with
no,
it. But it
but
is cheap.
Makes
for as an e-reader and a check in the web and everything, it's perfect.
I just got the Amazon Prime Unlimited books, which is pretty cool. There's like a million titles you can download, and we're going on this trip. So I am still partial to that 7-inch form factor for a portable device. Big enough for my eyes to read, small enough to be able to handle.
Right. And you're still you know, going to be, if you want real performance, but you don't need the portability, it's still better to go with that desktop because you can get some pretty beastly machines going for that, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 for those high-end laptops.
It's not unlike a whole lot of things. You need more than one to do the job.
Well, I might point out that we produce this show on a Mac Mini, and that's a pretty sturdy little computer for right around $600. Boomer Tech Radio, end of the hour. Thank you very much for listening. Another hour ahead. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment.
So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Ron DeRockstra. Two police officers are expected to recover from their wounds after they were shot responding to a call Friday night in Jacksonville, Florida. Sheriff Mike Williams.
The suspect had been drinking all evening. This something led to arguments. Those arguments led to threats for him to harm himself and to kill the other residents of the house.
The officers were able to return fire, killing a male suspect. Two Pennsylvania state troopers were injured, one critically, while conducting a robbery investigation outside a grocery store in Fairchance in the southwest part of the state last night. A 26-year-old male suspect was killed when the troopers returned fire. Both troopers are expected to recover. And a suspect in the fatal shooting of two police officers in Kissimmee, Florida, arrested in a bar several hours after the attack. The 45-year-old ex-Marine faces a charge of first-degree murder for the killing of Officer Matthew Baxter, and could face another murder charge for the death of Sergeant Sam Howard, who passed away later at the hospital. The Kennedy Center says President Trump will not be participating in this year's Kennedy Center Honors.
A White House statement says the President and First Lady Melania Trump have decided not to participate in events surrounding this year's Kennedy Center Awards to allow the honorees to celebrate without any political distraction. Past presidents and first ladies have hosted a reception at the White House before the Kennedy Center gala and sat with them at the televised event. But Trump has had a contentious relationship with the arts world, and some of the honorees had already said they would not attend the White House reception. The announcement comes a day after the entire membership of the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities resigned to protest Trump's comments about last weekend's demonstrations by white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Check out more news and read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Amazing to realize, but you know, it's been almost 2 years I've been talking with you about Relief Factor, and I can tell you I've been continually inundated with testimonials. This is Michael Medved, and I've received thousands of testimonials that come in telling me how excited people are to be out of pain, like Bob from Ohio, who writes, I had a herniated disc in my back in 1984. I started taking Relief Factor, and for the first time, I have been completely out of constant, sometimes excruciating pain. I'm now able to work in the yard, around the house, and do my job in comfort. This is a great product. That's the end of the quote. If you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle pain, aches, pains of any kind, do what tens of thousands of others have done so successfully. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. 1-800-500-8384. That's 1-800-500-8384.
Navy Commander Bryce Benson's being relieved as the USS Fitzgerald's captain after an investigation found poor seamanship contributed to the collision between the destroyer and a commercial ship.
The captain of a U.S. warship that lost 7 sailors in a collision with a commercial container ship in June is being relieved of command. The Navy says other sailors are also facing punishment. This comes after officials say it was poor seamanship and flaws in keeping watch that contributed to the accident. The crash occurred June the 17th off the coast of Japan in an accident-prone area known for congestion. The seas were relatively calm and visibility was unrestricted. Shirley Smith, Washington.
The knife attack in western Finland that left 2 people dead and 7 others wounded is, quote, likely a terror attack, that according to Finland's intelligence agency. More on these stories at townhall.com. Eclipse mania is building, and so is demand for the glasses that make it safe to view the first total solar eclipse across the U.S. in 99 years. Lines forming, prices rising, shelves emptying. It's all as people scurry to obtain those special eyewear that will keep them safe to view the sun Monday as it's obscured by the passing moon. Eclipse enthusiast Amy Watts says she was able to get a pair of eclipse glasses for her son at the Clark Planetarium in Salt Lake City.
We heard the frenzy of getting a hold of some eclipse glasses, so we thought, what the heck, we'll give it a shot. Pulled up, line wrapped completely, zigzagging out here. Just decided to give it a shot, and we actually scored some.
For stores that still have glasses, prices are spiking. The ones that were for sale on Amazon, going for a pretty steep price Friday. Last check, around $11 to $12 each. News and analysis at townhall.com.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F West Side Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
I'm Brenda Belongi.
And I'm Alan Belongi.
And we are here with the tech news you can use, goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. We're having a great time bringing you these stories each and every week. Of course, you can pick up our stories on the Boomer Tech Radio website, which is where you can also download the podcast. In addition, you can pick up the podcast also off of iTunes, Google Play, or the Stitcher app. So all kinds of ways to contact. Also on kcnr1460.com/archives for back editions of the program. So every week I have Alan bring us some stories here to share on the show. And he gets them all on his smartphone, on his Android. Alan, what stories did you bring for us this week?
Well, it's kind of nice because I kind of shattered this screen on my cell phone not that long ago.
Which is, that's painful.
Yeah, it was about $150. That kind of painful. Especially because it's a work phone, so like, I had just gotten it from work. But anyway, so Motorola recently put up a new patent for a self-repairing screen. Now, it's not quite self-repairing. It kind of will just sit there and fix up little scratches and whatnot that's available, that's shown on your screen, like if you have a scratch or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The screen itself has is made out of this type of, not really glass, but material that's able to liquefy slightly. You just put a little patch over it, and then you run a little self-repair program on the device itself, and it'll, like, melt a little bit to kind of smooth out the...
So it's kind of like the windshield guy who puts the goop in your windshield and kind of smooths it out.
Kind of. You're not adding anything to it, but yeah, it's self-smoothing.
Yeah.
So you plug in your phone to do it because it takes a lot of power to heat up the screen to melt itself, essentially, and then let itself... Obviously, you're not supposed to touch it while it's doing its thing.
Interesting.
But it'll buff out scratches and... small breaks, you know, if the technology ever comes off. They've often patent things before it actually, the technology's done.
Just in case somebody else comes up with it first. Then
right.
You got the money out of it.
But that'd be pretty interesting. I mean, it's not nanites running around repairing the thing, but it's a nice, simple,
distance from that.
It's a nice, like, kind of simple idea, really, if you can get the thing to work properly, that would just, you know, have the phone fix itself with a little bit of help from you.
You know what amazes me, Alan, is that you've got a nice case on your phone. I have my Urban Armor Gear case. But I see especially young ladies who
like to keep their phone in the back pocket, and they don't put a case on them because, well, then you can't tell that I've got an iPhone. Sort of thing. That's the only one. If you notice that so a lot of these cases, they have a cutout so
right.
You see the Apple logo.
That was my thing. The amount of there was a bit of a pretension, I think, when you get the case that has a hole in it specifically to make sure you see that it has an Apple logo in it.
I've got an Apple.
I got the. You get the feeling most people don't actually care. They just buy whatever case looks nice. But oh, geez. That immediately has me drop a few points of respect.
It's no different than being in high school and having to
wear, you know, those jeans.
You're right, yeah. Exactly.
Which I thought the same
sneakers.
Of those people too. So
never made sense to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, you see them, you know, with the $500 sneakers. You know those will be on sale in a secondhand. In 5 years, those will be on for $5 at some secondhand store.
I never even recognized the, like, expensive whatevers. They all look the same to me.
Yeah. Living in the moment. You reach a certain age when you really want to just have durable.
I reached that at 12.
God bless you. Hey, Brenda's working on a story here but before we get to that, you know, we're talking about narcissism of showing off your phones and things like that. And of course, there are people who are very narcissistic they want to post everything on their social media feed, looking for those likes, looking for those thumbs up, looking for those affirmations of the validity of their experience, and their life is crushed if they don't get it. Well, this takes this kind of to a whole new level. A live streaming necklace camera. Now, we talk about police, you know, having body cameras to, at first there was a big thing, well, all the police have to have a body camera because we want to see their misdeeds. Well, wait a minute. I'm being caught on camera by all these cops. Wait a minute, that's an invasion of my privacy. I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
No, just because you were caught doing your misdeed,
right.
All of a sudden that's now an invasion of your privacy.
You know, what's great, I recently played this game that takes place in the near future, and it had a character in there that streamed herself 24/7, literally, the entire time she was around, no matter where she went. And the whole thing was, you know, a lark, a joke, but it's not that far away from actually happening.
Yeah. Now, it is, of course, easy to live stream with your smartphone. A lot of people in the media do this. A lot of celebrities do this, live streaming. And as you pointed out at CES, people were experiencing this magnificent event with all these things to see through
a 3.5-inch screen.
A 3.5 smartphone screen.
It was crazy.
4-inch screen or whatever.
Back then, iPhone 4s were pretty small.
Yeah, 4.5 inches.
Yeah, just crazy. It's the same thing that we're talking about with the Eclipse. Ditch the technology and experience it for real, not through a device.
Ubiquiti's Front Row, a new kind of live streaming camera. It's inside of a round necklace, so you're still showing everybody your life without having to worry about being a cameraman. So if you're walking around with this thing, of course it's going to be bouncing, especially if the wearer is somewhat endowed. The camera angle may be slightly upward. Really?
Well, it definitely needs some sort of motion stabilization.
It's got to have one innate motion stabilizer. It might just be sitting in some sort of gyroscope, sitting there within the necklace.
It does have optical image stabilization.
Doesn't matter who's wearing it. It still is going to bounce around because the body is a very animated
thing.
This is
actually a recording. The device has up to 2 hours of continuous live streaming, up to 16 hours when capturing time lapses. And 48 hours of standby time. If the battery ever runs low or dies, you can quick charge it through a USB-C port. So the question is, it looks like kind of an absurd piece of jewelry, but as this technology gets smaller, how long before somebody starts strolling through locker rooms wearing one of these things or some similar situation?
Well, that'll take about 2 nanoseconds to happen.
Well, I mean, you could do that with your phone today, and it doesn't seem like much of an epidemic yet.
Well, phones are a little more obvious than this device.
Yeah, you can put it in your pocket and cut a hole in your shirt or
That's going to way too much trouble.
Well, there is a certain segment of society that really gets into that sort of thing. I'm a little baffled by it myself, but, you know, hey, whatever. Anyway, privacy issues with this thing. What if you don't want to be, because where does this footage go? If you're streaming it out, where is all this footage going? Because once something goes out, it lands somewhere to be looked at by someone, something, scanned. If you have these billions of hours of aggregate footage, where does it all get stored? This is the whole thing with about data banks. You know, super duper cloud storage, if everybody's every move is stored somewhere and analyzed.
George Carlin was right. You need more space for your stuff.
More space for your stuff, absolutely. So we'll see where this goes. The Ubiquiti life logging camera was a company called Narrative, which had a life logging camera. And this is on the presumption that one's life is actually worth anybody else really paying attention to. And like I said, this is like the ultimate narcissism.
I mean, I find my own life boring, so I mean, why would I want to watch another one?
I know, right?
Especially if they're not already on TV. I mean, if they're already on TV, sure, they might be slightly interesting, I guess, maybe sometimes. But all the time? No.
Yeah.
I like that.
Some people are just so full of themselves, they can't even take a drink of water.
Might be, I guess, maybe sometimes. I love that. That's wonderful. That sums it up very nicely.
Pretty much.
That kind of, you know, things like Kardashians come to mind.
Yeah.
And they don't even get past the slightly with me, but that's another story.
Earlier in the day that we made this recording, Brendan and I had occasion to visit our medical professional. And the thing that struck me is that gone are the days, well, they're still around, but for a whole new breed of doctors, sitting there with a folder with paper charts that they flip through and make little grunting noises as they check things off, that's actually gone. The doctor we saw today had a MacBook Air. And all of the records and the lab reports and everything were on there. And she said, if you want a copy of your lab report, I'll print it out right now, which was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
So, and the last, unfortunately, we've been to more hospitals in the last month, a couple of months, than we care to think about. But there's a trend at all these hospitals, right, Brendan?
Well,
you noticed it.
It's in the medical profession in general, but this actually comes from Merrill Lynch, which... of course, is about making money in business. And this is about high-tech trends in healthcare to watch and how it may drive the healthcare industry. But the technology of it itself is interesting. One of the things that's up and coming, of course, is I think it's pronounced genomics.
Genomics.
Probably genomics. But that is figuring out what your... DNA says about you. So you go, why is this interesting? It's not in some respects, but there have been some successes with curing or working on curing some inherited diseases.
1996 film Gattaca with Ethan Hawke.
Yep.
As soon as a person was born, they took a blood sample
right.
and ran it.
Right.
And in this, in the protagonist's case, his blood sample indicated that his heart would fail when he was in his 40s. Therefore, he was not of any use to the corporations, and he was relegated to menial tasks.
Well, why did they wait till they were born? Anyway, that's an aside.
Yeah, anyway, but you were assigned your status
right.
as a useful person to the corporations.
Sort of a glorified caste system.
And if we come to this super healthcare thing, how long before we end up in... Because there's a big controversy, I don't know if you heard about this, in Denmark, where they are identifying babies in the womb with potential Down syndrome and recommending to the mother that they abort their pregnancy.
Well, they've done that in lots of places in...
That's a chilling prospect.
It is, that they can identify that before the kid hatches, but...
Right, but pushing the mother.
Yeah, to urge them to have an abortion, that's...
to essentially wipe out Down syndrome.
That's what happens when,
luck with that.
That's what happens when you have to pay for everybody else's health care.
Well, there's that. Speaking of the cost...
But it does smack of eugenics.
Yes, true enough. Genomics is definitely come down in cost. In 2001, sequencing a human genome would have been $100 million, believe it or not. And the cost of doing that in 2015... $1,000. Mm-hmm. So the technology is coming.
So does that mean the 23andMe is going to want $1,000?
No, they didn't. That's not what they.
They're
do.
Not doing an actual sequel.
Not the full
for
sequencing
markers.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they have a whole database of markers they just look for. They don't do the whole sequence for you. That'd be a little much for what you pay.
So
for
all
that.
Of these things are in place right now, but they're in various stages of development. Second thing is robotic surgery. The robot will see you now.
Yeah. Now, we've had these knee replacement robotic surgeons. Now, a doctor is running the show, but the actual movements are so finely detailed that these robotic systems do the actual snip-snip, right?
Well, they're actually very expensive, of course. No surprise, since this is a specialty item. But the advocates of them are saying that they can be very accurate in incision-making, for instance, and... it may actually benefit the medical system and reduce surgeon hours and shorter hospital stays. So they can do these kind of things, very efficiently and very precisely. That's if you need it just so. And so
there's that system called the Da Vinci that is a robotic assistive surgery system.
Right. And that's indeed that's what it is. It's an assistive type thing. Another realm, and we've talked about this before on Boomer Tech, are not necessarily in this with this word, are care bots. Mm-hmm. Robots that are able to assist elderly folks at home, say dispensing medication, helping with some physical tasks, and that sort of thing. They're predominantly being used in Japan right now, but of course there could be a huge market here in the United States. So the potential, if you get in early and investing this, you could net some big bucks in the long run, but the industry itself is growing into a fairly healthy one. And another market for robotic type things is we are the Borg, right? In replacement limbs or prosthetics, and even in the military had reported in 2015 that or not really the military, DARPA, the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which has a lot of soldiers to work with, which is how this came about. It reported in 2015 that they had built a robotic arm that could be used or controlled by a human brain and a hand that could give the sensation of touch and it would give feedback that way. You know, Steve Austin, $6 million man kind of stuff. Definitely Borg. And, of course, that's a mechanical replacement of your limbs with the nerve endings and that sort of thing. Another thing that's big is telehealth, where you use Skype or the like. That concept, anyway, for healthcare professionals to be able to assist folks. It could be in town, it doesn't matter, but this could be potentially very, very helpful to folks that live in rural areas where you don't have a lot of healthcare, where the teledoc is able to see you. And you may even have some...
It hurts when I do this.
There might be some kind of information that you could be plugged in, a blood pressure monitor or some other kind of device that can provide that
telemetry,
data.
Yeah.
Yeah, the telemetry to the distant physician or physician assistant or what have you. And so that's probably an emerging thing where it helps in those rural markets. It's also pretty cost-effective, too. In a lot of ways. And then an extension of the robots, there is virtual reality or augmented reality. Let's say that there's been a X-ray or a CAT scan of somebody and you're looking to be in a very precise area with augmented reality. It could overlay that CAT scan on what the surgeon, physician, or whatever sees on the real body, and you can head into that realm a lot more precisely or whatever.
Picture this. Yeah, I mean, you can carve on all the simulations, you can read all the books you want, but when it gets into getting into somebody's body,
right,
there's no substitute for actually doing it. And this is kind of a variation. We saw a welding simulator where you're wearing a pair of VR goggles and you had a block of plastic in front of you and you held a simulated welding stick, and it would precisely measure the distance between the stick and the surface, and you had to strike the arc. And in the goggles, you saw the arc fire, and you had sound effects in your ears, but you weren't actually striking. You weren't actually welding. And it was a training tool to develop the muscle memory it takes to be a successful welder. And the same thing can apply to surgery.
Sure.
But to train the doctors.
And in this case, there's already been documented cases of where very complicated surgeries have been assisted by augmented reality or virtual reality.
Building a 3D model
or,
and looking at
right, exactly,
the building,
actually printing a 3D model and then realizing, oh, the approach we thought we were going to take, that's not going to work very well. You got to do it this way. So that's already been documented. So a few other trends in healthcare with high-tech: contact lenses that measure glucose levels in diabetics, so it's, you know, constant reading, or it's there. I don't really want to wear a contact lens for that type of thing. I wouldn't want to. I wear glasses. I don't think I would want to do contact lenses. But for some people, that could be massively helpful. Spoons with accelerometers that adjust for the shaking common in patients with Parkinson's. And so it helps them hold the spoon steady, and they're able to, of course, feed themselves. We've heard stories before about this, nano pills that travel through the body and identify particular cells, such as cancer, for instance, and target the delivery of a medicine just to those cells. Instead
Rather
of now,
where
we just kind of
poisoning
broadcast
the whole body.
Yeah, you put it out there in the hope that it'll get to the right place, right? Multifunctional radiology that scans the body with
Dr. McCoy.
Looking for medical problems all at once, not unlike the tricorder type thing or the medical scanner used in the Star Trek franchise. And smartphone apps that collect the health data, that's already being done.
We've seen that at CES a couple of times. Now, the big issue is what happens to the data, of course.
Right.
And who is collecting it, and where is it
Absolutely.
Going and why.
There's no question about what that's a money-making
and
prospect.
Liability.
Yeah. Well, all of these things are things to invest in, or that are going to net medical companies, the medical industry,
now,
a lot of money.
The last one's interesting.
Absolutely. 3D printed replacement body parts.
Nice.
And you can do that with living material. They've done this already.
Right. They've created a 3D printed a mesh to be able to hold an organ in place, or large skin replacements.
Until the
patient's... They form a matrix for new skin to grow into.
Exactly. And then it's non-reactive, so you could technically print stuff that's not going to give you
a
rejection
and
that sort of thing.
The idea was like you print out the lattice, the framework for certain things, and then the body will regrow into that lattice appropriately and turn into like a new organ.
That's one approach, but in this case, it's
stem cells or whatever.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's using actual cells that can. You'd be built into something, but things like bones or tendons, these kinds of things. So there may come a time where they can just print you a new part, so to speak, for your body that doesn't, you don't get rejection.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'll be able to replace everything except my brain when I'm old. I'll just be...
I don't know. I'm here to tell you, my young man, that an older brain is...
Got problems.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, but I can't really replace that. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's days that I wonder where this one came from.
Heading into the break, Ohio State University has created a non-invasive chip that uses tissue nanotransfection.
Infection?
No. Nanotransfection.
Oh, whatever that is.
To alter skin cells into cells of any kind. Researchers may say it may be able to heal anything from nerve damage to brain injuries. It's only been tested on mice and pigs, but researchers hope to start clinical trials on humans in 2018.
It's amazing when you think about it. That's sort of playing God, if you will, in some people's books.
So how would they How do you turn a skin cell into something else?
Yeah, I don't know. I understand that fat cells can be
coaxed into becoming
stem cells. Yeah. So, very interesting. We're going to go ahead and when we come back, well, let's take one real quick thing here.
Netflix is going to spend $7 billion on digital entertainment next year in 2018.
They're actually still losing money on all this new content.
Right, but they're really doubling down on the whole thing.
Well, really, their production values are pretty darn good.
Right, they put a lot of money and effort into it. I mean, it's a profitable company, all that, but yeah, the whole... People said I was crazy when I was like, I don't think regular cable TV is going to exist in a couple of decades. I'm like, oh, no, are you crazy? I'm like, well, I don't think it's going to happen. Things like Netflix and stuff has taken off, and they have their own programming.
You know, we once got talked into investing in a video rental company that no longer exists. And we will poke our investment advisor for that repeatedly from time to time. Love you, Tammy. Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. He's Alan. We're having good fun here. We'll be back for our final segment of the Tech News You Can Use right after this.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. This is America, a country where at least half of the population still believe in godly moral values. They still believe this country was created for a godly purpose. We will never allow the overthrow of our country and Constitution from within. We will protect our God-given rights, such as freedom of speech and religion, and our right to protect ourselves and loved ones at any cost. But let's never forget, real freedom begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. Windows are the number one source of heat gain in your home. Installing solar screens, window treatments, or new low-E windows significantly reduces heat gain and reduces your summer air conditioning cost, putting money back in your pocket. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world-famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef, cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile. Maybe deep-fried prawns or golden-fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio, and as always, the 2 hours just seem to zoom on by, at least from our perspective. I'm not too sure about that of the listeners. Anyway, the theme music is composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie off the PodSafe Music Network and is used by permission. So, robophobia. Don't you love that phrase?
Yep.
Anything phobia.
Yeah. Robots are secretly plotting to kill us or enslave us, or they will just take away all our jobs. So,
see, that one's the only legitimate one, yeah. Maybe.
And the term, and I'm surprised this article in the AP that we're reading here, and it's up on our Flipboard app at Boomer Tech Radio Magazine on Flipboard. This article from the AP, the author does not go back far enough. He talks about Isaac Asimov's iRobot series. But in reality, the term robot comes from a 1930s play called Rossum's Universal Robots. In fact, I think Rossum's Universal Robots may be predating the 30s. I'll have to look. But anyway, it was a Czech play.
Yeah, that's where the word robot came from.
Synthetic humans rise up against their creators and essentially destroy the world. So then, of course, you've got Terminator. You've had evil robots throughout. It's a mainstay of science fiction. The psychotic robot in Alien, who was trying to kill Sigourney Weaver with a rolled up magazine. That was a kind of a scary scene, actually. Not quite as scary as the Alien, but very methodically trying to choke her with a magazine. Anyway, the odd relationship between artificial sentient beings and human beings has been fascinating and worrying, and we're actually approaching an era when robophobia is being espoused by otherwise rational folks like
Elon Musk
and Stephen Hawking and other individuals. And of course, the point that we've made on this show is that these are very smart people, but they're not roboticists. They don't know what actually goes on inside a computer down at the nuts and bolts level.
And pretty much any roboticist that works with AI and the top end stuff right now says, yeah, they do their thing, they do pretty well, but it's a pretty shaky house of cards. I mean, it doesn't take much for it to completely lose its place in whatever it is it's doing when it's assigned task, because it doesn't know what it's doing. It just knows that it's supposed to do this particular thing, you know? It has to know what it's doing before it can start questioning why it's doing it.
Yeah, now as Chief Technology Officer for Carnegie Mellon University, Professor Howie Choset says that fear of robots is making his mission a little bit tougher. Essentially that there's so much misinformation out there. There's already weird laws being passed. South Korea, we talked about last week, wanting to put a tax on robots because of all the laws that were being, all the people being put out of work. There are still, in fact, there's a great video from Boston Dynamics of the robot's task was to put a box on a shelf.
It didn't do so well.
It's a miserable fail. The robot drops the box and the shelf goes flying. The robot finally falls over at the end of it.
Well, I like the one from Boston Dynamics more, the one where they're trying to like hit the robot with a stick while it's trying to do its job. It's like sitting there bullying this robot, you know, and trying to trip it, shove it over and all that. And it's doing its best just to do its assigned task.
Oh, you're picking on the robot.
You know, it actually doesn't care because it can't actually care,
yeah,
by the
right.
way.
Well, what's interesting is robots are in use in a lot of different functions today. It's just they don't look like the humanoid robots of the science fiction fame and Asimov's thing. And those are, I can understand why people would be afraid of that, as because there's some implication that
it's the uncanny valley kind of thing.
Yeah, it's too human, if you will. It's too much like us. It could replace us, that sort of thing. But robots that are used in law enforcement, bomb squads, and other things like that, even delivery devices. And they have a picture in this article on our Flipboard news feed with Boomer Tech Flipboard magazine, of this little six-wheeled delivery robot in London, and why somebody isn't sitting on it and going for a ride is, you know, how long before that happens, right?
Yeah.
And I get a free lift down the street a ways, right?
In San Francisco, you know, they banned sidewalk robots in San Francisco.
But one of the most interesting pictures I find here is camel racing, which is huge in parts of the Middle East. And they banned, in Qatar, they banned children as jockeys. Hmm. So they put robots on the camels.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of interesting. It was very successful, the first ever robot camel race. And, you know, there's robots that explore things like the ocean or go into disaster zones where buildings have collapsed.
Oh, absolutely.
And that sort of thing. So they aren't all necessarily humanoid.
There's finally been built a robot that could live long enough to go into the Fukushima plant and get images of what's going on in there. Of course, it has to stay in there till the end of time now.
That's the nuclear meltdown reactor, by the way, just in case you didn't remember that.
Boy, that was all the headlines for a while. And it was going to be the end of us. Well, maybe not.
Or added a little bit of radiation to the ocean. But, we'll all be fine.
Yeah.
There's actually a car parking robot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It lifts up a car and moves it. Mm-hmm. That's in Germany. And if you think about it, how are we able to see what's on Mars and know something about what's going on Mars?
The rovers,
which are
not the Irish rovers, but the rovers,
kind of a robot.
Yeah. In fact, a couple of kids from Shasta County went down there with Spirit and Opportunity when they were, and I think one of them was only recently just they way outlived their design specifications. They were only supposed to operate for about 3 months, and they kept going. They were like little Energizer bunnies.
You know? One of them's still going.
Yeah,
90 days.
So,
and years and years and years, decade later, there.
Last week we talked about legacy tech, you know, stuff that was really popular 20 years ago that was really, you know, super cutting edge. But one of the things that came about in the during the 1980s and 90s, so actually the 1990s, before that point, if you had a PC and you wanted to hook it to a printer, you had this connector that was about 3 inches across called a parallel plug. It had 37 pins in it. But on the other end of it, it was a 25-pin connector, and the thing was as big around as your finger, the parallel printer cable.
Yep, they were pretty hefty back then.
Yeah, and they tended to break and all that sort of thing. And then in order to get the printer to work with the computer, you spent several hours swearing at it trying to get the right drivers installed because those had to come off of a floppy disk or later on a CD.
Heaven forbid you lost it. Because then you might as well just throw the computer, throw the printer away.
Those god-awful flat wire cables, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the ribbons.
Yeah, the ribbons. That's the word.
Ribbon cables.
Yeah, those were obnoxious.
With header connectors on them.
They weren't very flexible, and they were big, so they took up a lot of space, and they never bent right, and what a hassle.
And if you wanted to hook up a mouse to your computer, you went through what was called the serial port, which is a little 9-pin connector. But you could only have one. Most computers came with a single serial port. And then you had to go in and you had to figure out in the operating system which port was operating which device. And you had IRQ conflicts, interrupt request. Was what IRQ stood for, and solving
all of a sudden wouldn't work.
Yes, solving IRQ conflicts was just a real
fun thing
to do.
That's
it
like
was
tracing
a joy.
That's like chasing electrical problems in your car or house.
Well, about the same time as we started hearing the words plug and play, a new connector came on the scene. It was called the USB, Universal Serial Bus. Now they are all around us, and we're not even really aware of it.
This was the one time where somebody called something universal, and it actually stuck and became universal. It's great.
But now it's kind of like spread out a little bit, as we've talked about. USB was designed to standardize connections of computer peripherals, including keyboards, pointers, digital cameras, printers, and you've got one in your smartphone. It was created in the mid-1990s, and according to an article that that we dug out, let's see, this was a consortium with Compaq, which is no longer around, DEC, Digital Equipment Corporation, no longer around, IBM, which no longer makes personal computers. Intel, well, they still make chips. Microsoft, they're still around. NEC.
I think they're still around.
Yeah. And Nortel. Haven't heard much from, I think they got bought by somebody else. Anyway, the goal was to make it fundamentally easier to connect external devices by replacing that big bunch of connectors on the back of your PC and simplify the software configuration. And it was Intel engineers who finally got it all to come together with specialized integrated circuits that took care of the USB specifications.
We don't think much about this at all, but you know,
we
you might
plug
say
it in.
This would seemingly be obvious. Why, you know, standardization makes sense. Well, the thing about it is that whoever standard is adopted, there's a lot of money involved
That,
in licensing and all of that kind of stuff. So whoever's device or whatever gets adopted as a standard, ooh, there's some big bucks there.
It's like the fight over Beta and VHS
exactly.
Or HDVD and Blu-ray. Yeah, it makes sense to only have one, but one's got to win?
Which one? Yeah. Right.
Now, I forgot where I was going right there.
Well, it's nice to have USB because so many things plug in, you know, you have your mouse or your keyboard or whatever, everything looks the same. I find USBs to be kind of annoying because I always have them upside down.
Yeah.
They only go in one way.
The micro USB. And there's an interesting story there.
Well, micro USB, that's a whole other story altogether.
Before about the year 2000, every single different smartphone had its very own charging connector. Remember that? If you had a Sanyo phone, it wouldn't plug into your Motorola StarTAC, which would not plug into your Nokia, which would not plug into your whatever brand of phone. And so you, as time went by, you ended up with a drawer full of chargers that didn't fit a working phone anymore.
If I remember the industry history correctly, the Europeans finally said,
European
enough.
Union.
This is ridiculous. And so they adopted the standard of what we think of now as the micro USB first.
Yeah. So micro USB, a very small flat connector, slightly D-shaped. If you look at it, one side is just a hair narrower than the other. Now, we had the mini USB, which we used in a lot of external hard drives. A lot of digital cameras use the mini USB. So there's a whole designation here. If you look up Wikipedia USB, you see a rather neat chart that traces the history. It's actually a bit more than we want to try to dig deep into on the program, but the original USB 1.0 specification gave data transfer rates of about 1.5 megabits per second or 12 megabits at full speed, which at the time was considered to be pretty darn fast.
What would you need that much for?
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh.
Because a serial port could only transfer data at, I think, 19.5 kilobits a second was the fastest that a serial port would work.
Remember I had to buffer your printer?
Yes.
It actually took time for your computer to tell the printer how to do
its
thing.
Oh, yes.
It still does. When it goes through the network. It's different, but yeah.
USB 2.0, which is the most common today,
right?
Released in April of 2000. Hewlett-Packard, Intel, Lucent Technologies, and Philips led the initiative to do the higher transfer data rate of about 480 megabits per second. That's 40 times faster than the original USB 1.1. In fact, in some boxes, you'll still see high-speed USB 2.0.
Yeah.
Time marches on.
Right.
USB 3.0 specification was published on in 2008. The first devices first started coming out. In 2010, that at super speed, let's see here, USB 3, super speed 10, we're actually up into 10 gigabits per second.
Gigabits.
Now, it's interesting. Now, there's a lot of specifications, some of which are just for charging, and it's interesting that you were saying.
Oh, I wasn't. Keep going.
It's interesting that USB really didn't catch on until Apple's iMac popularized the connector and took away all those other connectors.
So we think of USB as being a particular shape. We say USB 2.0, but really that refers to the data transfer. USB 3.0 can actually duplex. So USB 2.0 has to send and listen. Send, you know,
right.
That way, whereas USB 3 can send
talk
and listen
at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, bidirectional.
Exactly.
That's better than people can do.
Makes things much faster, so that's one of the advantages with that. So the question comes up then, okay, so there's USB 3, but there's also, like, USB-C. What the heck? Now what?
Well, USB-C refers just to a particular type of connector, which actually has, in this itty-bitty connector, 20 pins.
Right. So a letter designation, as I understand it, on
right.
USB is about the physical shape
right.
of it. But the number relates to its
speed specification.
It's
right.
The way it transfers information and all that.
So how do you know which cable is which? There is a color designation for that. And I just happened to learn this recently, that a USB 3 cable or even the port on a device will have a blue
yep.
inside. If and a very specific color of blue, as it turns out. It's a Pantone 300C.
Yeah.
Pantone is a company that was established to standardize ink colors and that sort of thing. And so when they talk about color of the year, Pantone, blah, blah, you can go get that, and, you know, if I use it and you use it, then it ends up being the same color. So that's all Pantone refers to.
Yeah, if you look at the back of most modern motherboards or whatever, you'll notice some of your USB ports are blue, and you're like, why are they blue? And that's because it's the 3.0 speed on those ports. You don't need them for things like your mouse or really your printer.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to have a decent
hard drive or something,
you would want to plug it into one of those.
A lot of video.
Or transferring out of your video device.
Just something that's actually going to have a lot of data transfer.
Right.
You want to make sure you use those blue ports for your 3.0.
Exactly. But you can get kind of duped into thinking that you're buying a USB 3 cable and it's fake because there's all kinds of fakes out there. And they also, USB 3 cables are often labeled with an SS mm-hmm. for super speed.
Yeah.
And so even the fake ones can put that in because that's just plastic molding, right?
Right.
So how do you tell the difference? You tell the difference by looking into that little flat connector because that's mostly the shape of the ones that we're going to see. Yeah.
If it doesn't slide in easy, don't force it.
Well, it's not only that, but they will. It'll slide in there. It's the same size.
Yeah.
But when you look down into the cable and the tip on the cable, you should see a number of pins or connection points in there. And with a USB 2, there's only 4, and with a USB 3, there's 9.
Mm.
So you can check and see if it's legitimately a USB 3 cable by how many connectors, you know, little connections there are in the connector itself or the plug itself.
Right.
And it's going to be kind of hard to see, but there is a difference. It's pretty obvious when you put them side by side. So there are unscrupulous people, of course, that sell what is their say is a USB 3 cable, and it isn't.
Now, and on a similar note, there was a story a couple of months back about cheaply made USB 3 adapters and cables that had bad resistors in them and could actually fry your device because they let too much current through.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. And so this is why you never want to buy replacement cables at a kiosk in the middle of a mall.
Not the best idea.
Gas station.
Or at the gas station.
But so,
well, even the ones that were sanctioned by Apple or something, they had some trouble with their stuff, too, because of the manufacturing process. But
so for clarity, we mentioned a USB-C. That's different, sort of, from USB 3.0.
Right. Yes. That actually refers to the connector itself, which is a reversible connector. And on the new generation of Apple MacBooks, is all there is that this one port supplies power and data, but also video and all the, you know, all other interfacing is done through the port.
And you can't plug it in upside down because it don't matter.
There is no upside down.
Correct.
The way it goes in is fine.
The Nintendo Switch also has USB-C capable of connector.
One cable to rule them all type of thing. So actually the Apple devices with, I believe they call it a lightning connector, is that right?
Yes.
It has that same concept where it doesn't matter which way you
Correct.
Put it in. That's an annoying thing about USB 2 cables that we're familiar with, like on our keyboards and mice. But again, remember that the USB number is a performance issue, a speed issue, whereas USB letter is the shape of the connector.
Now, on some computers, you're going to see other connectors, including the eSATA, which is sort of a long, skinny L-shaped connector. Sometimes eSATA and USB are built into the same socket. I've got a laptop that does that.
The SATA is more for, like, plugging things into your hard drive.
Right.
Or into your motherboard, I'm sorry.
FireWire was popular for quite a while for people who needed high-speed connections, and Apple made heavy use of both the FireWire 400, which was a long, skinny connector kind of pointed on one end, and then the FireWire 800, which was a more square connector, and more recently the Thunderbolt connector, which was popular on MacBook Pro a couple of years ago. Those have all been replaced by USB-C.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when it becomes more popular,
it is the standard until they come up with a new standard.
Until it gets better.
Absolutely. Anyway, usually if you're going to go out and buy a new desktop or laptop, unless it has exclusively USB C connectors on it, you're going to find a mix of USB 2 and USB 3, the flat connector. And on my Dell laptop, there was one USB 2 and a couple of USB 3s, and the 2 is where you plugged in your hub for your mouse and keyboard and all that low-speed stuff.
Right, because it doesn't actually transfer any real data.
And, of course, once again, we want to mention, as we did at the beginning of the segment, our theme music composed and performed by George Wood and off the PodSafe Music Network. And we want to thank George for giving permission to do that. That is all the time. If you want to send us some email, it's boomertechradio@gmail.com. Visit the website, boomertechradio.com. You can download the show there. Also, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Store. Any final thoughts or comments before we get ready to wrap it up here?
Go out and enjoy that eclipse.
Yeah.
If you're deciding to go and Google it.
Yeah, especially be safe when it comes to watching the eclipse.
And don't look at it through your phone. Just look at it.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing.
That's a big recommendation.
There are actually warnings about don't put the filter, don't point the camera at the sun and then look at your phone through the filter, through the glasses. That doesn't work. It'll just fry your phone. Imagine telling that one to your Apple support guy.
Your phone's not intended to take that level of radiation directly to its optical sensors.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. A free speech rally in Boston today broke up shortly after it got started as dozens of rallygoers were gathering on Boston Common but left less than an hour after the event was getting underway as thousands of counter-protesters also were gathering.
They're far more coordinated than us, and that's because they have ill intentions. We've only come here to promote free speech on college campuses, free speech on social media for conservative right-wing speakers, and we have no intention of violence. But if they want it, and you know they storm the gates, and you know they mean to do us harm, we'll stand our ground.
Other